When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome to On Deadline, where we take a deep dive into your radio news from Odyssey stations across the nation. I'm your host, Lauren Berry. Today, we're going to talk about how President Donald Trump became a meme again this week when he held a press conference with Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and announced that acetaminophen is linked to autism and that pregnant women should, quote, fight like hell to avoid using it. Here are the president's words.
Effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen, is that okay?
Yes.
Which is basically commonly known as Tylenol during pregnancy can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good. For this reason, they are strongly recommending that women limit Tylenol use during pregnancy unless medically necessary. That's, for instance, in cases of extremely high fever that you feel you can't tough it out, you can't do it. I guess there's that. It's a small number of cases, I think. But if you can't tough it out, if you can't do it, that's what you're going to have to do. You'll take a Tylenol, but it'll be very sparingly. It can be something that's very dangerous to the woman's health. In other words, a fever that's very, very dangerous and ideally a doctor's decision, because I think you shouldn't take it, and you shouldn't take it during the entire pregnancy. They may tell you that toward the end of the pregnancy, you shouldn't take it during the entire, and you shouldn't give the child the Tylenol every time he goes, he's born, and he goes and has a shot. You shouldn't give a Tylenol to that child.
Reaction to this was swift, and it's ongoing. And that's what we're bringing to you today. Here's talk show host Chad Hartman at WCCO in Minneapolis discussing the press conference itself.
Chad Hartman's off today. My name's Chris Eggert. I'm with 5 Eyewitness News. Happy to be with you. Happy to engage with you. Happy to talk to you. Happy to have a civil conversation about the world today. I do want to bring up something about President Donald Trump from yesterday that I'm going to admit it drove me absolutely insane. And this is not from a political standpoint. This is from someone who has to read words for a living. And it doesn't always go well if you've ever watched the Channel 5 news. And I'm sure at some point during this radio broadcast, I'll put it on full display for you. Sometimes you get tongue-tied. Sometimes the teleprompter goes out. Sometimes the words just don't come out the way that you wanted them to.
Sometimes they don't come out at all.
Sometimes they don't come at all. Sometimes they don't come at all. And we knew this was coming. And for those of you who are following the news, you knew this was coming, probably signaled a couple weeks down the line. But then at the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service on Sunday, among many of the many topics that President Trump decided to talk about at that platform in that moment, he brought up the fact that there's going to be a big announcement coming out about autism, and they were going to be unveiling this news on Monday. So we know he knew about it on Sunday. I know they knew have known about what they were planning on saying for quite some time. And so when the big moment came yesterday for President Trump to make the announcement that they believe pregnant women should not take Tylenol anymore because they think it causes autism or can cause autism, this is how it came out.
The FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen.
Okay. Unacceptable.
That's not good.
It's not good.
It's not a good look. You could hear Bobby helping him in the back. That was nice, RFK, to do that. But
I'm not saying
the word is in there. If you're Donald Trump or you are his speechwriter, any of the aides, you know the word is in there.
And it's conceivable that he doesn't pre-read his speeches. Very conceivable.
I would never have guessed that.
And that's not a knock. Listen, I'm not. This is not trying to be a political, this particular conversation. I'm not really trying to go one way or another on it, other than for God's sakes, this was the big thing you're unveiling, and you can't say acetaminophen?
It's a big word. There's a lot in there. But man, practice it.
You got to
practice it. AIDS, practice it with him. Make sure he knows one of the most important words in that speech, the active ingredient in Tylenol. Rather important when we're blaming, by the way, the brand name product.
In this moment.
Yes.
Yes. And it's been a build up to this. And this is going to be a key thing of Make America Healthy Again, which is one of the pillars of this administration. And you can't say acetaminophen? Oof. Yikes.
I've never run into that problem before. I've never had a guest or something with a name that's a bit unusual.
All the time.
And told a host, perhaps named Chad or any other, many other hosts that I've worked with, this is how you say their name. It's pronounced acetaminophen. It's pronounced acetaminophen. Hey, welcome back. We're here. Happy to welcome in John Acetta.
Acetaminophine. Hey, John. Oh, hey. Good to talk with you. Did I get your name right? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
Say it however you want. Just happy to be here.
All right. Does this bother you guys? I want to know. 651-461-9226. I think I got the text number right here, 651-461-9226. Let's discuss this. I want to know your thoughts. Is this just a slip up of words, or is it a bigger indicator of somebody who is out of touch with the regular folks who use acetaminophen? From me, from a preparation standpoint, it bothered me. That's not a political statement. It's just an observation. And so I wanted to point it out. I wanted to listen to it again. I wanted to see if it was as bad as I thought at the moment. And you guys have all kinds of things to say about this. Trump's cognitive abilities are rapidly declining.
Also rapidly declining.
And rapidly declining, which is very scary. He's turned into a rabbit. That's what you focus on, pronouncing acetaminophen. By the way, I needed help spelling it. It's a hard word to spell.
It's a lot of letters.
Yeah, you're right. Has there really been any study on using too much of it? Is too much use while pregnant? It can't be good. Okay, I know there is definitely some part of the medical community that says this is worth taking a look at. That's not what I'm here talking about at the moment. I'm discussing specifically when the president has this big moment to say something and throw something out there and he doesn't. He gets the basic thing wrong. Does he not care about it? I think I'm sure he cares about it. This was something he brought up. He's been wanting to talk about. Is he out of touch? Does he not even, what's acetaminophen like?
Yeah. It just hurts credibility.
Right.
People are already very dubious of RFK Jr. and what he's said for years about vaccines and autism and all of that.
Yep.
And to lead the press conference that way, fair or not, when the president leads it off with how do we say this? And you lose people. You just do.
That was my, I was like,
Yeah.
How? And again, like, Trump is Trump. I think we all knew, again, what he was going to be when he came into office. Now, we're also hearing from plenty of you, and I appreciate this, and I knew you were going to bring this up. So, we're not blind to the fact that the guy who was in the White House before, Donald J. Trump, had some stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't exactly a wordsmith in his final months.
That was that one debate. I don't know if you remember that, June 2024.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with. Look.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear you. I know that it was bad.
And yes, again, also losing a lot of credibility.
We're going to help you separate fact from fiction when it comes to Tylenol and autism. Let's start with a reaction from the University of Minnesota.
Well, we wanted to dig deeper, into the science on this. So joining us now is Dr. Amy Esler, professor of clinical behavioral neuroscience at the University of Minnesota. What was your first reaction to the news yesterday that the FDA is saying pregnant women should no longer take Tylenol or acetaminophen while pregnant?
Probably a mix of disappointment and frustration. We have been working really hard for many decades identifying what the real causes of autism are. And that news conference, I feel, really set us back.
There are some studies that do potentially link acetaminophen with autism. Have you seen any of that? And is there any truth to it?
Yes, there are a few studies that have found a positive association between taking Tylenol during pregnancy and later having a child with autism. The problems with those studies is that they did not take into account the reasons that a mother might be taking Tylenol, and those reasons could really be what's associated with autism rather than the Tylenol. So things like infections that we know have been associated with autism, pain from autoimmune disease. So the studies didn't really control for these factors. There was another very large study in Sweden with over 2 million children that controlled for these factors and also controlled for genetic factors. And when they controlled for those things, there was no relationship between acetaminophen and autism.
So, like you said, there are many reasons for autism. We can't pinpoint it to one specific thing.
Correct.
And so what would you encourage people to do? Obviously, have conversations with their doctors?
Yes, have conversations with your doctors and know that the bulk of the evidence points to genetics as the cause of autism. One of the comments yesterday at the news conference was that this work on genetics has not been fruitful. Well, the fact of the matter is 60 to 90% of autism cases are accounted for by genetics. And there's nothing moms can do during pregnancy to change the genetics.
We are talking with Dr. Amy Esler on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Esler is from the University of Minnesota, Department of Pediatrics, Clinical Behavior and Neuroscience. We appreciate your expertise on this. I wanted to ask you another question about the drug that they talked about yesterday. I'm not sure I'm going to say this right. Leucovorin?
Yes.
Okay. So they were talking about this drug that could potentially benefit some children with autism. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. My thoughts on that is that we don't know enough yet. There have been very small studies showing that for some children with autism, they may see benefits from taking leucovorin.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
That work needs to be repeated with larger samples and placebo-controlled trials. You know, it's interesting that they were really quick to dismiss over 25 studies that have not shown a link between autism and vaccines, but very quick to latch on to very small amounts of evidence of leucovorin preventing language delays in children with autism. It's a promising, you know, finding to continue to explore, but it's not going to be a cure for autism or something that's going to prevent autism.
But it could help some children, and it's not otherwise harmful to kids, so no harm in actually going ahead and trying or, like you said, studying this further.
Yes, absolutely. And it is, you know, it's folate. So we already recommend pregnant mothers take that during pregnancy. So again, very promising potential treatment to explore, but it's not going to, you know, change rising autism prevalence.
What did a story recently with the Mayo Clinic about using artificial intelligence to find drugs that are already on the market, kind of like this drug here, that can potentially be used off-label to treat other issues, and it is working. Do you think that that is exactly kind of this vein that they're going down?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what vein this administration is going down. I think it's really important to continue to do science in the ways we've been doing it, with thorough peer review, rigorous methodology, and no bias or pressure from the government to find certain connections.
Dr. Amy Esler from the University of Minnesota, we really appreciate you joining us and giving us a little bit of the science behind it all this morning.
Thank you very much.
A leading physician in Buffalo predicts one fallout for sure from the announcement. Confusion. Confusion for parents, for health professionals, for advocacy groups, and more. Here are thoughts from Sunny Salzman on WBEN Radio in Buffalo.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What he said is that women should just tough it out. And the reason that that is drawing such immense criticism, even alarm, from all these medical groups is because there are known real risks of experiencing pain and fever during pregnancy. For example, fever is associated with a much higher risk of stillbirth. So there is a really strong concern that women are going to see these headlines, be scared to take Tylenol, not take anything, perhaps experience pain, fever, and then suffer harms either to themselves or to their growing baby.
Joining us on the line, Dr. Joseph Chow, Western New York and Media Care. Dr. Chow, thanks for joining us. I'll start with the simple question. Well, you'll tell me if it's simple. Why did he say this?
Yeah, good morning. Certainly not simple, and certainly sounds confusing. So he said this because there were studies. There was a study that actually looked at prior studies, and it totaled around 46 of them, dating from prior years. And this study actually suggests a potential association. And so I think it's important to kind of take a look at the words. Even if you look at the HHS site, it will say it suggests a potential association, but not causation between Tylenol as well as autism or other neurodevelopment disorders. So this is the reason why he said that, pregnant women should not take Tylenol during pregnancy.
What concerns you as a physician with this?
Well, one, we already talked about a confusion. I think this is already causing confusion amongst patients who really will need to talk to their doctor about this. That's one. The other is, you know, treatment. The whole reason why people will take Tylenol, you know, they'll typically take it for pain. They'll take it for fevers. And I think we've all, you know, really in the past day have even seen some of the potential issues of not treating fever as well as pain in pregnancy. So that's also one. Certainly, you know, finding other alternatives during pregnancy, there's really not that many great or even good alternatives to Tylenol at this point. The other popular medication, ibuprofen, certainly has its difficulties in pregnancy that are well documented also. And certainly, you know, we try not to trend towards more potent pain medications such as opiates. So the options that are out there for pregnancy is really not that great. So if you take this away, you're taking away really one of the important and only medications that we can take.
You know, the use of Tylenol, it would seem to me, has kind of stayed steady while autism rates have gone up. And I'm interested in your opinion on this, because there's a school of thought that says, well, you know, we're seeing these autism diagnoses up huge numbers in the last 10 years, 15 years. But there are a lot of people who say, well, that does not mean that autism has exploded, just that autism diagnoses have exploded. And we're now assigning autism to way more people than we ever would have in the past. What exactly is going on here, and is that a reasonable conclusion to what's happened in the last decade?
Well, in that case, that's actually, you know, more of a negative correlation, and so not causation. So you're correct. Is the issue that we're just diagnosing better? We have better tools. There's more recognition. That certainly may play a role in it. I think there's still a lot of unknowns. There may be other factors that are out there in the past, you know, decade or so that we are not aware of that may be causing this increase. And when you take a look at the Tylenol use, it does look like the Tylenol use has been steady or actually decreasing, you know, in pregnant patients. So that in itself is kind of goes the other way to the argument that there is an association or a cause for it. But nonetheless, these, again, are correlations and not stated causations.
Dr. Chow, the president used the words tough it out. He said women should just tough it out instead of taking Tylenol if they have a fever. But, I mean, if a pregnant woman has a fever and doesn't take anything, that itself is risky, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, with fevers, it can cause, again, neural tube defects, heart defects, oral clefts. So there is danger in not treating fever also. And, you know, again, I'm hoping he's not saying just tough it out. I can say when my wife was pregnant, I would not say that, because really that can be very difficult, you know, with the pregnancy and add on top of fever, discomfort, and the whole list. I think tough it out is probably a word I wouldn't say.
Tell your pregnant wife to tough it out. You'll be taking Tylenol after you got hit in the head with a frying pan. I'm wondering why this got the treatment it did, and how the studies presented differ from things that, you know, quite frankly, we hear about all the time. We were talking earlier about how every 6 months, right, eggs are good for you. Actually, wait, eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you again. And, you know, it goes so on and so forth. But they're all based on studies. When does a study reach a level of being something that turns into a recommendation for doctors? Because we hear about studies all the time, but changing recommendations, not so much.
Yeah, that's a great question. And certainly you want, you know, large amounts of participants, so that the number that are involved, the ideal studies are more they can control in the future versus what these are called observational studies, because it's not ethical to do studies on, you know, again, pregnant patients to see if something will be extremely beneficial versus detrimental. You can't do those kind of studies in these cases. So the studies that we do use are more observational, meaning we take a look and see what happens with an outcome, but without any intervention. So that being said, you did mention there's, you know, these have been studied actually for years and decades with Tylenol use in pregnancy. Probably the largest one to date was recently last year in JAMA, and this involved over 2 million children. The other ways to make these studies more powerful is to actually remove any kind of bias or any kind of confounding factors, is what we call. And the confounding factors can be a lot of different things, right? It can be genetics. It could be a lot of different factors like other medications. It could be the reason why you're using Tylenol in the first place, maybe causing things. And so you try to get these studies as powerful as and without bias or confounding factors. This study in particular from last year actually had what's called sibling controls. And so you take away some of the confounding factors with, let's say, genetics and environmental factors because it's studied within the same family. So that study you'll probably see a lot of doctors reference in the news is probably the biggest and most recent and best study that we have. And that particular study, not surprising, did not show any association with Tylenol as well as autism or neurodevelopmental disorders. And so that's why there is this, you know, again, back and forth about, well, which study do we believe? You know, that one to this date is still the gold standard at this point.
Dr. Megan Mayer from Louisiana State University discussed other things linked to autism, including environmental factors and genetics, on the Tommy Tucker Show out of New Orleans.
If I was President Trump, or if I was advising him, I'd say, you know what, man, look, you got plenty to do with Ukraine and you got plenty to do with the economy and everything else. Let's not weigh into autism and Tylenol. But the president chose to, so let's talk to a doctor and a scientist about it and see what they think. Dr. Megan Mayer joins us now, assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at LSU Health New Orleans, about, I guess, autism at first and what kind of links they have, if they found any links to autism at all, scientifically.
Sure. So autism is caused by a variety. It's a combination of genetic and environmental influences. So they haven't been able to pin down a specific cause, and it's likely caused by a variety of different things. So some are inherited genes, and they have been able to isolate some of the genes, but that only accounts for a small amount of the autism that we know.
So there are markers. That's what I wanted to ask you, that you can look at, I guess, someone that has autism or their genetic makeup or whatever, there are certain markers on the DNA. I don't want to hurt myself here using the wrong phrase, but that you can tell that would predispose somebody
in some
to autism.
Cases.
Okay.
In some cases, yes.
So in that way, it would be nature, but there's a lot of arguments for nurture as well, right? For a lot of different, there are a lot of environmental factors as well, or physical.
So you're correct. So there are some environmental factors. So there's prenatal conditions that can put a child at risk for having autism, and those could be maternal autoimmune diseases or obesity or gestational diabetes, or it can also be complications at birth. So if a child is born prematurely before 26 weeks, or if they are born with a low birth rate, or if there's any kind of fetal distress or complications at birth, that can increase the risk of a child having autism.
Is there any treatment for autism, any cure for autism, or do you just, is it anything that needs to be cured, or is it just something that needs to be adapted to?
Oh, that's a great question. So there's no specific, there's no cure for autism. It's how a child is wired, how their brain is wired. Mm-hmm. But there are certainly different things that could be done to help a child with autism. So there's a specific type of therapy called ABA, or Applied Behavioral Analysis, that can be done with a child with specific behavioral specialists that can help them learn to manage frustration better. Because one of the symptoms of autism is becoming irritable or easily overwhelmed, and sometimes for younger kids that can lead to major tantrums and meltdowns. So ABA, it helps with a lot of different things, but certainly can help with frustration tolerance and tantruming.
Have they found anything, any link
between things that pregnant mothers ingest and autism?
So there is some information out there that very low risk for some antidepressants, but some of the evidence is conflicting. So some studies have shown that, some have not. I will mention that there is a lot of talk out there about vaccines causing autism. Mm-hmm. That was published in a big paper years ago. And since that time has very much been debunked by repeated studies with large and large amounts of kids. So vaccinating children does not lead to autism.
So when it comes to pregnant mothers and Tylenol, has there been any research that indicates Tylenol is a causative factor when it comes to their child having autism?
No, there's no research that I'm aware of.
And you study this for a living, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what about this leucovorin mimics folic acid? I don't know anything about that. I would just, again, as a pregnant mother, you got to be careful about whatever you take, right? Because it's going to affect the child that you're carrying. So the president says, and I'm not trying to make this about the president at all, I'm just trying to make it about autism and pregnant mothers and what they should or shouldn't do. He's talking about leucovorin, but I would, again, if I knew somebody that was pregnant, I'd say, well, let's hold off here before we take anything to make sure that it's okay and check with a doctor. Thoughts?
Yeah, so leucovorin is folinic acid, which is a form of folate or vitamin B9. Mm-hmm. It's used to treat certain types of anemia and can counteract some of the effects of specific cancer drugs. But it's... there's no connection between that and autism. However, for pregnant mothers, there's very few studies about what pregnant mothers can take safely, because obviously they're carrying a baby and mm-hmm. everyone wants to be safe. So it is certainly advised to be cautious with what type of medicines you're taking while you are pregnant.
Dr. Mayer, looking at it from a different way, and look, you know, when it comes to science, man, leave the politics out of this, leave President Trump out of it, leave RFK Jr. out of it, leave Dick Durbin out of it. I don't know, I'm just picking names from both sides, Akeem Jeffries, whomever. Just leave it all out of there and just talk about it from a scientific standpoint. How concerned should mothers be when it comes to what they ingest during pregnancy as it relates to autism?
First, I'll say that concerned mothers who are taking medications or any kind of supplement while they're pregnant should certainly talk to their OBGYN if they have any issues or concerns about medicines that they're taking. But there's little information out there about what medications might lead to autism. President Trump's claims that Tylenol is leading to autism cases is not founded. There's been some very small studies that point to some possible correlation, but when they've looked at all the different confounding factors within the study and then looked at it with millions of children, they have not found Tylenol to be a risk factor for autism.
So to look at it from the other way, you shouldn't be taking Tylenol unless you absolutely need it or anything if you're pregnant, right?
Correct. So, yes. So whatever you are putting into your body or ingesting when pregnant, you certainly want to be careful and cautious and can certainly talk with your OB if you have any concerns about specific medications or supplements.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate it. Dr. Megan Mayer, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at LSU Health New Orleans. And the only thing I would ask again is when you talk about medical advice or scientific stuff, just forget who even said it. Just look at it like a double-blind kind of thing where it's like, well, okay, let's evaluate the statement on its own merit. Forget who said it and see if there's anything to it.
Whether you're living in a red state or a blue state, whether you voted for a Democrat or a Republican in the last election, we'll leave you with this. Trust your doctor. In a totally non-political way, heed his advice. Politicians, they're not scientists. They can have opinions, sure, about overdue influence of some industries on health recommendations. But just like you wouldn't trust a WebMD diagnosis over your own doctors, don't listen to advice from politicians that contradicts your own physician. And we're sure they'll have plenty to say about Tylenol and when it's appropriate to use. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of On Deadline, written and produced by Christy Strouser and by me. Find and subscribe to On Deadline on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.